Okay, so we're up to the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Sadiches, and we'll take a few days going through this. I don't expect you to do all the Shach. Some of you will do more than others. I'll at least try to discuss Baal Peh most of them. Maybe I could read everything. And the Shulchan Aruch says the following: Yisur Shenesare Beheter Min Bishein Omino Kigon Chelev Shenesare Bebasar Yitamenu Oved Kochavim. And im Omer Shein Botam Chelev. Okay, so the din is very, very straightforward. When we read the Shulchan Aruch, I would like you to be able to identify for me what the makor is for the Shulchan Aruch. You've heard this 100 times. So firstly, if you have Isser Shenesar Behetem Min B'Shein Amino, that you give it a kfeila to a goy. It's an ovikom. Let's say kfeila to taste. What's the makor? As early as you can go back, that's the rule. In other words, so this comes from Rava in the Gemara, right? This was Rava's three principles. That Amar Rabbanu Mitaima, Amar Rabbanu Mikfela, Amar Rabbanu Bishishim. So when do you use Kfela? With Gemara, Rava says, when you have Min B'She'in Amino of Isser, so that's when you use a Kfela. Now, what type of Goy does the Gemara describe, does the Shulchan Aruch describe here as tasting it? What? Generic. It doesn't say whether it's a kfeh. He doesn't use the word kfeila or nachtam or anything like that. He just says, yitamenu oveit kocham. It could be any god. And then he says, if it has no tam chelev, or it has tam, but it's pogum and not sofer lashpiach, so then it's mutter. Where does that come from, that piece? That's not direct, not in the Gemara related to this. What? It's in the Rambam. The Rambam adds that particular piece in. When the guy says, we would say, if the guy says you can't taste it, if you can taste it, it's asr, but it's only asr if it's no Saint Tom Lashvach, or it's Sofo Lashviach. We're not going to talk about what exactly that means right now. When we get to the Simon on no Saint Tom Lafgam, which is Simon Kuf Gimel, Kuf Dalid, so we'll discuss the issue then. But that line is from the Rambam. Okay. And then, we'll come back to the Shas in a moment. Bitzara Shalo Yeda Shasom Chanalav. He has to not know that you're actually being Somech upon him. So what is that another way of saying? Okay, now, what does the Shulchan Aruch... If you remember, I started this, Beis Yosef, by pointing out there were like possibly five shittos in Rishonim as to how it works with a goy. Does it have to dafka be a kfela? Does it have to be dafka meisech lefitumo? Do you need both? Do you need neither? We got to, I think, five somehow. What position is the Mechaber's position? This is actually an excellent example of thinking about the Beis Yosef is the real Sefer HaPsak. What does the Mechaber say here? Who do you give it to taste? To whom do you give it to taste? A goy, doesn't say an achtom, and the goy has to be Mesiach al-Fituma. Now, that leaves open the possibility. What now, the goy, can you give it to a kfeila to taste? Of course. I mean, kfeila is a goy, right? In other words, he's a small, you draw your Venn diagram, this is goyim, and within it, you have kfeila. So, the question is, does the kfeila need to be nisiach lefituma? Because remember, there is the position of the Rush, which if I'm not mistaken, the Rush's position is that you need nisiach lefituma, but he doesn't make it clear whether you need dafka and achdom or not. So, it's possible that what we're saying here is that... all you need is meisech lefitumo, and it doesn't matter whether it's kfeila or not. The other possibility is to say that the mechaber gives you the case where it's a regular goy, and that's why you need meisech lefitumo. But if you had a kfeila, you wouldn't need meisech lefitumo because you have a different chazaka working in your favor, namely that uman lomera uman ase. That's the two possibilities. What does the shach assume? You don't have to see the shach. What is the mechaber's position on this? What is the Mechaber's position? What? Like the Rashba. And how do you know that it's the Rashba? I'm sure the Shach even says it. How do you know that, Alter? Wise guy. All right. While we're at it, I'll just point out. The Be'er Hagola is the reverse Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. The Be'er Hagola gives you what the Makor of the Din in the Shulchan Aruch is. Okay, so but Alter, you were speaking reasonableness. What will you say? Beis Yosef. He quotes the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef gets to the end and says, because all of these Rishonim say that you can have a kfeila without meisech lefitumo, and all of these Rishonim say you can have a goy meisech lefitumo, so both of those are okay. Just not the case that only the Rambam holds it, which is a regular guy, and you don't need a sichah if you don't know the Rambam sheet as you ask a guy. Now, there is a long shach here in Sif Katan Beis. And the shach talks about the following question. The Gemara says that when a woman's husband disappears, potentially has died, so in theory one should have required what kind of proof that he's dead?
To aid him
or a body. To aid them or a body. Okay. But you don't have to aid them. It's inconvenient to have to die in front of aid them. So this guy was engaged in only convenient behavior, and he dies, and we don't have any... What's our proof? So one aid comes and says it, or his wife comes, or another woman says, I saw his body dead. So what's the halacha? So later, the Chachamim eventually decided to accept an aid echad. That's Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua, their various positions. But our position, halacha lemasa, is that you can accept an eid echad, which can include an isha, an eved, a shivcha. I don't know if we allow like gazlan midoraisa on this, but I think even the psula eidus to rabbanon are accepted here. We allow them to testify and say, we saw so and so dead. We saw him killed, we saw his body, he was dead. You can believe... even a bas kol, forget what that bas kol is for a moment. It's a mishnah. You can believe what you hear that you don't believe a cheirishot of a katan. But if the kids are just schmoozing and they say, we're just coming back from so and so's funeral, and you should have seen the bagpipes that they had there and all this stuff that they had. I'm not how many saftanim there were. They used to have music, by the way, at Jewish funerals. I know that may sound strange to you, but in the mishnah in Ksubos it says that you have to that if a man dies for his wife's funeral, he has to hire, he can't have less than Mekonenes or Shnei Chalilim, I think. They used to play music, right? You listen to the NYPD or the NYFD when they have funerals, right? They play the bagpipes or whatever else. We don't do music at funerals, but imagine the a cappella group. So anyway, they said that we heard this guy, we were at the funeral, and it's really, you should have seen it, and so on. So that case, you're not believing the Kinokos. They're not testifying, but you know from the way they're talking that obviously they were coming from so-and-so's funeral. Okay. So you have a guy, the Gemara says, you cannot believe unless he's Meseach Lafituma. So I think I mentioned this once before. The guy says, then he's talking to his friend in the bar and says, oh my God, it was a massacre. It was horrible. That car crashed and you should have seen, Joe Goldberg. Oh boy, was he cut in half? No chance for the paramedics. They pronounced him dead on the spot. So he's talking to his friend. That's called Meseach Lafituma. If he says that, I was in a fight with Joe Goldberg and I punched his lights out and he dropped dead, I managed to kill him and that, so you don't necessarily believe him because he might be bragging. Right? So you do have to sort out whether or not there's a reason for him to be lying. But if he's genuinely Mesiach Lefitumo, then the goy is believed. But the Gemara says this is only true by Dinam Daraisa, by this example. By no other example would we accept the testimony Mesiach Lefitumo of a goy. So the Shach asks, if you hold that the bittul of min b'sheino mino of tam kikar is only the rabbanon, so then you can understand why. And again, where do we use a guy for ti'ima? Min b'mino or min b'sheino mino? Because nobody can taste it for min b'mino. So obviously we're talking about min b'sheino mino. So if you hold like Rashi and the Rambam that tam kikar is only the rabbanon, so then I understand why you could give a guy to taste, because the suffix only the rabbanon. So by an issue that's a suffix the rabbanon, you believe the guy may see a chafitumah. But if it's a din daraisa, like the Rabbi Nutam in the Rashba, so then how can you rely upon the goy meseach lafituma? So that's the Shach's question. And he quotes, the issue was already raised by the Truma Sadeshen. He raises one possibility which he doesn't like, I think the Aruch HaShulchan does accept, which is, when do we say, and some of you I know read the Shach. Jared, I think you guys read the Shach. Do you remember? I read the Shach 5 times.
We did the first,
not the end of it. Okay. So what the Shach quotes a suggestion at the end, maybe, what is it that we don't believe a goy mesich lefituma by doraisa when there's a cheskas issa? In other words, dumya de isha. When a woman is married, and now there's a question of whether her husband has died, what is her chazaka? What that? She's cheskas ish. Right? The last thing that knew, we talk about status quo chazaka. The last thing that she knew was that her husband... She was married. Now you're not sure whether her status has changed. You follow the chazaka. So there we say that if you want a goy meseach lefitumo to overturn
the chazakah, the only time we allow it is by Eidus Isha.
Like the case of Aguna, the Chacham were making. But when it comes to the Isser, so what happens here? Isser falls into Heter. Does the food, the Heter, have a cheskas Heter or not? What's the status of your kosher food that a trade food fall into? What's its chazakah? Heter or Isser? Heter. It was mutter until now. Now you're Mesupak. Ah, some Isser fell in. Did the Isser make it Asser? Well, I don't know. It depends. So that doesn't have a cheskas Isser. The Shach doesn't like that because he quotes a tshuva the Rivash, where it sounds like the same shayla reply, the same concern of the Gemara would apply, even in a case where there's a cheskas Heter. So I think the Shach himself, he says something that's not clear to me at the end. It might be clear, but it wasn't clear to me. I think what he means at the end is that this is a milsa da avida legluye. This is a milsa da avida legluye. What does it mean? Well, you're afraid that the goy might lie. So what's going to happen? What's that? You're going to eat it.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen? You're going to taste it. You lied to me. What's going on? So that's what I think the Shach means when he said at the end that he doesn't use the term milsa d'avida legluye, but I think that's what's going on. In other words, when is it that we don't believe? Why is it that we believe if you can't believe a goy by the raisa meisiach levitumo? Why is it that we believe the kela when he's not meisiach levitumo? Why do you believe it?
Because he has a child.
And that creates a chazaka for him. So in other words, we assume that some people will lie some of the time, and we can't trust them. But if there's a compelling reason why they won't lie, if there's a chazaka that Uman lo meira umanase, and Uman is not going to undermine his professional reputation, so then I don't even need meisiach lefitumo, because I have a compelling reason why the person won't lie. By the way, why is it that an eid echad is believed? I know I'll jokingly say you're not going to believe this in light of our general world today. Why is it that the Chachamim allowed either the woman herself or a single aide to testify about the death of a husband? Yeah.
Well, this is just a lazy answer that they're desperate, so they'll take any news they get.
No, but then you're saying the Chachamim, you're saying that they thought the issue was so important they choose to be makel as possible. The Gemara says, Mishum iguna akila barabana. But there is a svara behind it. And there is, by the way, machlokas there. I think Tudeh Asintosis, certainly machlokas that we shown him, whether or not the Kula Eirachar is Medaraisa, really Medaraisa Eirachar is good, or the Rabbanu Ma'okedah Minatar. You look at the little Tosos, he gives, I think, the two approaches. Whether really Minatar Eirachar was good, but the Chacham normally didn't allow it, but here they allowed it. Eirachar is obviously always good, we know that. Eirachar, you need two Eidim and a Beis Din. But the question is really Al Pidin? Eid Echad is okay for whatever reason, or is it special takana kiras hachamim? But if an Eid Echad is really believed, what would the svara be? Why would we believe the Eid Echad by Eidus Isha? Something that is likely to be uncovered and publicized, people don't lie. You know why? Because people don't like getting caught as a liar. If he's really dead, it's okay. But the assumption, if the person is telling you, if the person is really dead, it's okay. But if the husband is alive, what's going to happen? Right, he'll show up. And there was a movie, it was remade in the modern era because they had to change it. It's called The Return of Martin Gere. Anever? I watched this with my wife in the library back in the day, like when we were still students, because she had to watch it for a history class or something. So they used to have like a couple of the carols, and they're not there anymore in the library, you know, where we actually watched the movie. It was a medieval version because... This is, by the way, mamish. If you want any intersection with culture and halacha, if you're learning the sugya of Eid Echad, you have to watch that movie, right? It's about a man who came back, claimed to be her husband. She accepted. It's not clear whether she knew it wasn't true or not. And then they had to make a different din of why they wanted to hang the husband, which they did. In the medieval version, it was for adultery because you could kill people then. But the later version, I don't remember what the name of the movie was, but it was a remake, was in the Civil War. By that time already, you weren't going to hang somebody for adultery. So it turned out the guy who came back was also a murderer. So that's why they had to change it for the period. But that is exactly the issue. He's going to come back. That was the Chachamim's big concern in being Mako. Does the Chachamim, if a man drowns in the middle of the ocean, his boat goes down in the middle of the ocean, what are the odds of the person surviving? Close to zero. By any normal halachic metric, the wife should be allowed to remarry. The husband should be regarded as dead. The Chachamim were very machmir, though, by Naim She'en Lahem Sof. Mayim Shein Lensofin was when a person drowns in a body of water where you can't see all the shoreline. And therefore, if you can see all the shoreline, and you can see if he came up from the water, and you can be watching the whole thing, up until the point you know he has to drown. But if you fell in the middle of the ocean, you never know. Maybe he swam and you didn't see him, and eventually, you know, he pulled himself up on the shores of Europe. You just never know. Now, the odds, Chacham understood that, but that's why they were machmir. So in reality, if 1-8 said, again, forget the mind stuff, 1-8 said, that I saw him die, even if the aide said on the basis of Mayim Shein himself, which we wouldn't accept Midrabanan, if the husband's dead, he's dead, it's okay. Our great fear is that he comes back and is alive. That's the issue. So, it's a milsa davud David alaglu, and a mishak minshi. Unfortunately, today, we live in a time it's even true. It's true about politicians. Most politicians don't want to get caught in a lie. Right, so you assume when they say, I mean, you shouldn't assume that, actually. Yeah. The joke is, how do you know a politician is lying? His lips are moving. But the point is, most human beings don't want to get caught as brazen liars. And therefore, we say, milsa David delagli no mishakwe inchi. It's not, chazakos are only presumptions. They are subject to rebuttal, right? There are individuals, there are pathological liars, that you just know. You can't say, milsa David delagli. Yes, Alter. No, so you have to say that the concern of Milsa David Delagli, it's a good question. Alter's asking, according to the Shulchan Aruch, why do you need Meseach Lefitumo even, if it's a Milsa David Delagli? It's a good question. I don't know, it's a very good question. What at that point, why need Meseach Lefitumo? So all I would say is that from kind of an arithmetic perspective, in other words, there are the people who would lie anyway. So if you combine Milsa David Leguye, it is a problem though, because ironically, Meseach Lefitumo potentially undermines Milsa David Leguye. And that's when, if a person is just shooting the breeze, and then he said something, and then you come to him and said it wasn't true, don't you say, I said, no, I'm just talking. Whereas if you ask him, I need your opinion. So that's a good question. Noah?
Do we accept the testimony of a guy in any case that's not the same as the B2 role? Like, maybe we just reject the testimony of a guy, period.
Generally, we do. That's correct. But in other words, except for, unless there's a chazaka that backs him up, like Uma no meira Uma nase.
But in that case, maybe the reason why we need the Seach Lefitumo is because if it's not the Seach Lefitumo, we just wouldn't trust him to begin with. We just never
trust him. No, but again, Alter's question is, we do by Uman, right? You agree by Uman we do that. We have a Chazaka. So he's asking, why is this Chazaka not good enough there? Oh no, he says something else. I know. Now you know what he says. The Shach says something else. I think somebody else. Maybe there are Hashochan mentions Milsa David Leguye. Shach says the following. It is Milsa. It's a different Milsa David Leguye. You know why we believe him? Not because you're going to taste it, because you might give it to a Kvela to taste. The reason why you believe the guy, it's your question. Your question is a question. This is another way of saying Milsa David Leguye. Shach says, you know what? You know why you believe the guy, the regular guy, Meseach Lefitumo? Because it's Ikon Lemekam Allah de Milsa. You could find out by giving it to a Kfela. And therefore, that's really Milsa David Leguye. So, and maybe he doesn't mean that. Maybe he means it's a. In other words, maybe. And I don't know what he would. Can you dress that up in Lundus? Pete, no, I'm serious here. In other words, Ikon Lemekam a time of the Milsa, because it is determinable, actually. It doesn't make sense. Via Kvela, therefore, it's not written. That's Milsa David Leguye, I think. I think so. All right. Anyway, so that's the big shach in Sifkatan base. Fine. He also points out in Aleph, we've said this already, the Shulchan Aruch assumes Chelev and Basar are two different flavors. Moving on. V'chein, we're back in the Shulchan Aruch. V'im ein sham ovei kocham l'toama, misharinan b'shishim. Then you use shishim. V'chein himu min b'mino, kevan d'leka l'meka b'tayma, misharin b'shishim. So, if it's min b'mino, but definitionally you can't use a kvela, therefore you use shishim. And the Rama says, v'inogim achshav lismocha ovei kochavim, so this is in fact the Ashkenazi position, which is we don't rely upon Fela at all, we always use Shishim, and we don't rely upon Fela. Someone asked me that I was talking about this. That's why I need it. The truth is, even if I had Sephardi students here, I don't know if they would know. But I mean, it doesn't... Correct. So the Shah points out, and this is the position of the Rambam, explicitly, I mean, not explicit, but it's sort of explicit, that you can't use shishim if you have a kvela. As the Rambam and Tosfos both hold, that even less than shishim, if a kvela tells you there's no tam, it's mutar. So the only question is, what if you have a kvela present? So the Rambam sounds like he would hold, of course you have to ask the kvela. You can't rely upon shishim unless you have no other choice. That's probably what the Mechaber holds. That's what the Shach claims in Sifkatan Dalid. I don't know what Sfaradim actually do. It happens to be that Bizman Hazeh, it's very rare that you have questions like this. Why? Because what type of Isurim might you possibly have in your kitchen today? Basar b'chalav, and that's it. Because everything that normally you bring into your kitchen is already kosher. So the only thing, you can mess things up, is by mixing, Bisari and Chalavi. That's the only way. So it does reduce the number of situations. And according to at least the Mechaber, if you want to know whether something is Bisari or Chalavi, you can taste it yourself. And the only question is, if you cook something, Fleishik in a Milchuk pot, or vice versa. That's the only case where you have the situation. So I don't know what Sfardim do. Fine. The Shach, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned this to you, the Shach writes in Sifkatane here, from the fact that the Ramos says that we are not somech, we are no longer somech on what? What does the Ramos say? We're not somech on a kfela, which means on a guy. Does he say kfela or guy? So he doesn't say we're not somech upon te'ima. So the Shach says, you see that according to the Ramos, you could still be somech upon te'imas yisra, meaning for a nazir and yayin stuff, or basar, or for chalav. That's what he writes here. And he points out that the Mechaber Ramah, and I mentioned this I think yesterday, or previously, the Mechaber and Ramah say that if you chop up the onion with a milchik knife, you can taste the onion. If you don't taste milk, it's parf. So the Shah, that's what the Shah says here, but you have to look back on that din in Simen Sadi He or Sadi Vav, where the Shach says that we lechatchila don't rely upon Timas Yisrael. I think the Levush said we don't. I think each other early, very early Achron said that. So, but the Shach says, b'diyevet, if you tasted the onion, had no milk, and you tossed it into the chulent, then it's no problem with the chulent. There was a question coming from somewhere. Zach.
If there's basar b'chol mixture, then you can't taste that, because that might be basar b'chol.
I'm sorry?
If there's a basar
b'chol
mixture, so that you
can
taste it.
Basar or halav. Not basar b'chalav. That granted, he can't.
Oh, so like we just have adanya.
I'm sorry?
Like we just have adanya.
Right, that's the case. That's what I'm saying. It's only way that you have to ask a Sfardi that it's lemaisa for him to have a goy taste it is going to, today, bizman hazeh mamish, is likely to be basar b'chalav. Right, because basar or chalav, any other issue is probably not going to be in the house. I'm not saying never, but almost never. And basar or chalav, I'm sure the Sfaradim would hold you allowed to taste. The chumrah not to taste comes from Ashkenazi, early Ashkenazi Achron. And the Shach says, Alpidin, Te'ima actually works. Okay. Now, there is a Taz that I wanted to look at for a moment. I don't know this Indian very well, but I'm just going to read the Taz. And I'm going to leave it at that. We could explore this further, but it really doesn't, again, come up that much. Halacha l'maisa. What is considered Te'ima, and what is actually considered Asur for a Jew to do? So if you go to Sifkatan Beis in the Taz, Kasa Bedrisha, mean the Asar B'Yisrael Lamitambo, Yeshlumo Shpa'amim Shekonim Basar Menakatza, V'en Yadua Im Maluachu Imlo, Asar Litom Bilshono, Adkan Lashono. So the Drisha says, from the fact that you can't have a Jew taste a tray food, and what would the Jew, how could the Jew taste the tray food? what would he do? What? Or put it in his mouth, chew it up, stick it in his tongue, and spit it out. The fact that a Jew is not allowed to do that, even though he doesn't swallow any of the food, indicate, you're not chayim malchus, certainly, unless you eat. And achila means to go down the throat. So I give a great solution. Who needs to eat maskvela? Just taste it yourself, put it in your mouth. If you start to taste the iser, spit it out. And you didn't eat anything. So, which is, by the way, a good question I've never seen really discussed, not in the Gemara at least, outside of one Gemara. What is that really asa midaraisa? Chatzi shir is asa midatora, but if you put it in your mouth, chew on it a little bit, and spit it all out, is that really asa midatora? Because, by the way, that would have provided the perfect solution for what? Nefarious. I'm being very nefarious here. Whose question would this have solved in a different way than he solved it? Rava said, I used to wonder, the Mishnah says that Kederish Bisha Bo Truma Ilay Vashal Bachulin. Bisha Bo Basar Levashal Bishal Beno Saint Tom. Kederish Bisha Bo Basar Levashal Bachalav and Bishal Beno Saint Tom. So Rava said, Bishlama Truma Yitamenu Kohen, but Basar Bachalav, how are you going to taste it? But now that Rabbi Yochanan said, Samchin and Akfela, we used to fail the Basar Bachalav. So I had a different solution. I'll tell you who tastes Basar Bachalav. A Jew. Take the piece of meat in your mouth, chew it a little bit. If you taste chalav in it, spit it out. That's an easy solution. Okay, but obviously, Rabbi Yochanan didn't think that that was correct. And we don't think that that's correct. So the Drisha says, from the fact that a Jew can't taste it, you know that you can't, let's say you buy meat, and you want to know whether or not the meat was salted. So what I'll do is I'll rub my tongue against the meat, and I'll see if it tastes salty. And if not, I know that it needs to be salted. So he says, you see, you can't do it. By the gallbladder, you taste it with your tongue. I'm not sure if that's for dam or something like that. Te'ima, belashon, there's no chashash iser when there's a safek. If you have meat that there's no blood on the surface and you want to taste whether or not it was salted or not, you can use your tongue to taste it, the Taz says. Vishani hacha, why then in our simin, why don't we have you, a Jew, taste the basar b'chalav to see if it tastes like basar b'chalav or not? Vishani hacha dahayatzarach litam ayideachila mamish kidei lahargish im yesham tam. You really have to taste. You know, it's not enough to taste it with your tongue. You know what you have to do? You have to take it into your mouth and chew it up, and that is prohibited. And he doesn't really say why. The alkain sarach sheitamena ovid kochavim. The gabi tainis baruchaim semen tafkuf samasayin. On a fast day, mevur pashut v'zedein iser b'tiim abalashon lachod lahuskosham el inyan tima likach l'toch pip uv'zei yeshchilik bein tainis l'shar iserim. So, I think, I didn't check, but I think by a tainis you're allowed to take the food into your mouth. There's even some Rishonim who say that on a tainis, not Yom Kippur, but on the tainis tzibur, you're allowed to take a tiny bit. Some Rishonim, I think, would say is the Tosus and Brachos. Anyone know the sugya? I think it's in the bottom of Yadalatim and Aleph. Maybe I'm making that up. Toim ve'im b'kach klum. So, the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? Boi minei ashi antanad ve'et rabi ami mir rabi ami ha'shori b'tayin yismahu shi'itam achil ashti ha'kabalala v'halaka oduma hana'a kabalala v'ha'ika. Amar lei toim ve'im b'kach klum entanya nami hachi. If you just taste something, it doesn't require bracha. If someone is fasting, you're allowed to do te'ima. So Tosus writes, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, Shechozer upolet. You have to spit it out. You don't swallow. Delo chashiv hanamina te'ima. Aval bolei alo afidu b'shar tanios, umisham hachi hapolet inu tzarech bracha, she'enu nana. You don't get hanoa, at least hanoa's me'ayim. So that, I don't know what it says in Shulchan Aruch exactly by tanis, but at least according to the Gemara. And Tosos, again, I don't know if there are some chumras the Shulchan Aruch has, other Bishonim. On a fast day, you're allowed to taste food by putting it in your mouth, chewing it up, and then spitting it out and not swallowing. So here, we wouldn't allow that. By other Yisurim, the Taz says, nothing doing. Here, you're only allowed to be toim b'lashon, and by Mara, And by basar, whether it was salted or not, if you clean off the surface, you'll be able to taste with your tongue. Here, tasting with the tongue won't actually work.
So you won't know.
You won't, just with the tongue here, you just won't get any information. What's that? Chalef. No, you know what chalef tastes like. Of course you know what it tastes like. What does chalef taste like? Shimon. We assume it tastes the same. Okay. Well, I think the assumption is no iser at all. Te'ima is not aser. Only, I would assume the raisa swallowing is aser. Taking it to your mouth and chewing it might not be the raisa. On Yom Kippur, why can't you chew food and spit it out? Then it's not a tiny sibur, it's Yom Kippur. That's why. Yom Kippur is a fast that the tzibur is fasting, but it's not called a tiny tzibur. Okay. Okay. The Pesachei Tshuva talks more about this. It's not clear that we follow the Taz's position, but that's a significant question. Okay. Next. Moving on to Sif Beis. Does someone want to do me a favor and read Sif Beis for us? Ben Sion, do you have a...
No.
You do. Just turn to you. Okay, go ahead. Tzadi Yud Beis. Guess.
Bain in the Sare Isur Behatar Minbiminao, Kigon Khila Blaso Shuman.
Am I looking at the same surface that you are? Shulchan Aruch. There were two chavrusas who were learning together, and they learned together, and one of them, like, all of a sudden makes the siyum, and they compare what was going on. You're looking in the Torah there. And one of them was learning Maseches Erevin, and one was learning Maseches Erechin. Maseches Erevin is 103 blot and 4 blot, and Maseches Erechin is like 33 blot, 32 blot. So, anyway. Zach, you like that, huh? You have to ruin the joke, don't you? That's correct. People did not learn how to read Gemara upside down because that's all they had. So you would share. Go ahead. Right, that's dafka by Mimbimino. It's a suffix when nishpach, and therefore, if you know you had a robe and you might have had shishim, so then you can be makel. Fine. If you don't know you had a robe, so it's still a sveika da oraisa. Okay, now the Rama adds. We'll come back to Rama. Let's just finish the Mechaber. So the Rama's position is that in order to determine what's in the Mino, you go basar shma, not basar tama. So we've discussed this a little bit. We'll discuss it a little further. We'll read that shach. Aval. Okay. So he says two things here. One, you have a regular case in this arid in b'sheno mino. So when nishpach is a sveik of the raisi after imachim. But then, if you had a case where min shalisser gets mixed into min and eno mino of heter, and there's enough min of heter to at least for sure be mevatel the min of isser, then you and you might be shishim total. So then the mechaber says this is the rashba, right? This is the rashba's chiddush. Then you say that the min is midaraisa mevatel the min, and then since you might have shishim, it's a sveika the rabbanon, and you go lakul. So let's talk about a couple of things here. Firstly, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch here with respect to Tam Ki'ikar, Daraisa the Rabbanon is clearly, is Tam Ki'ikar, Daraisa the Rabbanon according to the psak here? the Raisa, right? Because the Mechaber is saying that Min B'Sheino Mino, when you don't know if you have Shishim, is a Sveika Del Raisa, which means that Tom Kicker is the Raisa. Now, two major points in here. Number one is the Ramaz claim that Min B'Mino is determined by name of the Isser, not by the flavor. Does that make any sense?
Sounds very arbitrary.
Well, you're right, but the Gemara, you got to remember, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah is a machlokas Rav Anabai, whether you go bas Yayin Nesach, whether you go Basar Shema, Basar Taima. So Rav adopts the arbitrary position, Basar Shema. So the Ramah's position, quoting Basar Shema, that to be Min B'Mino, they have to have the same name, even if they don't taste the same. In other words, wine. Wine and grape juice are both called Yayin. Yayin Chadash, Yayin Yashan, they don't have the same taste. Yayin Chadash, grape juice, you know, freshly squeezed juice of the grape, and the grape have the same taste, but they don't have the same shame. One is an Ovid, and one is Yayin. So which determines whether it's Min B'Mino or not? So Rava says the shame, and Abaye says the flavor. So the Ramah says, we're paskin like Rava, like Rava and Abaye, Chasaka Rava, except for the Yal Kagan, and therefore we paskin as Din of Basar Shema. So the Shach points out the difficulty in this. The Shach says, I'm just going to read the first part of the Shach. I'll stop at some point, I think. The Shach's Sifkat Anbav. Hatam kosav Rabbeinu Tam v'chalaposka ba'omde b'shitaso. The kaimel and Tam kikar asam edaraisa b'min b'shein amino. The chaven shenose na iser Tam v'heter nepach ha'heter liyaskolo iser v'asar kulam edaraisa. Avo min b'bino kaven shenu nosem etam batam anator b'ro k'dechsiv achar rabim l'hatos. Ela shechachamim hitzrichu shishim v'hilkach kaven shenoda shahaya rubo heter v'al nestapek el imken yesham shishim olav. Hava lay sveka d'rabbanan ulukula. Mash ein ken kishlo no dalo shahi rubo heter the have the sefek the rice of asr avo mim bishe no mino kevin the asr ben atora at shishim kevin shno sentama filu no da shahi rubo heter no da shahi shishim have the sefek the rice the asr. Okay, that should be clear, right? He's just explaining the din of the Shulchan Aruch that when you're dealing with mim bishe no mino, tam ki ikar is the rice, and therefore shishim is the rice, because to know that you've gotten rid of tam, you have to have shishim. By mim bimino, you're not dealing with Tom Kik, you're just dealing with Rove Benat Torah, and therefore, once you have Rove, and you're not sure whether you're Shishim, it's only a Sveik of the Rabbanon. But clearly, why is it that Mimbish Eino Mino? The Shach has said, what the Shach has said right now, guys, is not a Chiddush. Why does the Shach say this? Because he's setting up the next line. The Shach just said that, why is Mimbish Eino Mino a Sveik of the Raisa? Two words, Tom Kik. That's why. Now, when you discuss Tom Kik, leave aside Mimbimino, Mimbish Eino Mino. By Tom Ke'ikar, do we go Basar Shema or Basar Taima? The answer is obvious, but I'm formulated that way to highlight why the Shach thinks the Ramah's position is impossible. The whole reason why we treat Min B'Mino as a Din D'Oraisa, as a Sveika D'Oraisa, because Tom Ke'ikar, which means, of course, when you define Min B'Mino for these purposes, of course Azlina and Basar Taima. When would it be that you could have a discussion whether to be Min B'Mino or Basar Shem or Basar Tam? When you're dealing with an issue that's not dependent upon Nesinas Tam, can anyone think of such an example? The easiest example. What? No. I mean, what would be an example where we're working on the definition of what is Min B'Mino, and there it's just as equally possible to go Basar Shem as it is Basar Tam? Yayin Nesach. Where the Isser is B'mashechu. In other words, let's say you already have enough your Shishim to be Mevatel the Tam of the Isser, whatever it is that fell in. I have Shishim. So now the question is, but Yayin Nesach is Oser B'mashechu. So how do I define, in what situations do I say that Shishim is enough, and in what situations do I say nothing is enough? There's no such thing. So in this type of a scenario, and the Shach will spell this out, in this type of a scenario, once I say, when is Shishim enough and when is Shishim not enough? It means Shishim is the bare minimum. And once you have Shishim, what do you not have anymore? What do you guarantee not to have if Shishim? Tam. So now that we know there's no Nesinas Tam, the only question is there bittul categorically for this type of Isser and Heter together, or is there not? So now it's possible to say, Azlinan Basar Shema. But until you get to the point of bittul atam, of course, with respect to Tam Kikar, I don't know whether they have Shishim or not, of course the suffix you're dealing with is Aslina Basar Taima. That's the point. Otherwise, Tom Kikur would be irrelevant. So that's why the Shach, he just explains the Mechaber, but what he's adding, he's not adding anything as much as setting up and highlighting the fact that the reason why Mim B'Shenim Minu Shenishvach is the Sveik of the Raisa is because Tom Kikur is the Raisa. And if it's all about Tom Kikur, then obviously, for the definition of Mim B'Mino in this context, is Azlina Basar Taima. Zach? In other words, if we were dealing, for example, with yayin and mayin, yayin nesach and water, or mayin may nesach in yayin that's kosher. Either way, so by mim amino the din is no same tam. So obviously, in order to eliminate the tam of the water and the wine, or the wine and the water, you need whatever the shear is. Let's say shishim. That's an exceptional case, but let's pretend some rishonim say it's shishim. We paskin, by the way, you know what the shear of bitol yayin b'mayim is? Anybody know? It's the basis of Ramosha's Kula by sherry casks. You know Ramosha's Kula by sherry casks? The way they make certain whiskeys, I think it's whiskey, is that they age it in barrels that had wine in them, which is, from my vantage point, probably Stamina, but Yai Nesach, these oak barrels. But the truth is they first burn them out. I'm not sure what it does. And it's supposed to give a kind of texture to the whiskey. I don't drink that kind of alcohol, period, so I really could tell you nothing whatsoever about it. Tasters will claim, you could tell the difference. I don't know if they really did a blind taste test. It may be a little bit like modern art, right? You know, they look at it, and you and I will look at it, and we just see a blank piece of white on the canvas, but some expert will come and say, if you blindfolded us, nobody could tell that, you know. If you took away that, we'd all look at the same thing. So it might be the same thing. If you did a blind taste test in the whiskeys, what do I know? I've already told you, I don't have a fine sense of taste anyway. But Ramosha's Kula starts with the basis of the position in Rishonim, which the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like, that Yayin and Mayim is Batel B'Shisha, not Shishin. It's an odd din, but it's premised on the fact, let's say, when any of you drink Kiddush wine for Kiddush? Who drinks wine for Kiddush? Really? So few wine? Wow, okay. Okay. Zach, how much water do you dilute your wine with? Yayin chai? Yayin chai? It's machlokas with glazun nechachonim, whether you can make a prayer geffen on it.
Oh, I dilute that with grape juice if it's Pesach.
I hold like a barometer, so I dilute it with water.
Hold on. So the truth is, correct the misconception. People will say, their wines were much stronger, which is probably not true. Their wines were probably not strong. Their wines were actually weaker than ours. The reason they diluted their wine most probably is because they couldn't drink water because of the bacteria. They didn't understand why, but they didn't drink water. And therefore, the wine actually did, and they didn't understand this either, but they obviously it worked, is it killed the bacteria. The alcohol killed the bacteria. But they couldn't drink the wine straight because if that was your whole beverage, you'd be drunk all day. So they diluted it. The Gemara talks about typically three parts water or two parts water to one part wine, one of those two. But up until I think Shisha, I think I don't know if it's six parts water, one part wine, or five parts water, one part wine. That's the maximum amount that you can dilute, and it still has the full din of yayin. So it's on the basis of that once you get to Shisha again, whatever exactly it is, that the yayin is considered, it doesn't have shame yayin anymore. It's very complicated, but that's the basis of the tshuva. Okay, but let's assume for the moment, there are some Rishonim, I think there's a Mordechai, that says that shir of yayin b'mayim is also, mayim yayin is shishim. Let's just say that. It's shishim, like all other Rishonim. So Zach, here's the point. Once I have enough heter to be mevatel the isser, in terms of, to be mevatel the tam of the isser, so now I want to know, what is the shir of bittel? Well, if it's mimishen omino, the shir of bittel is mimishen as tam, and I'm done. But if it's been benino, then there is no bittul, even though I can't taste it anymore. Right? In other words, one drop of wine into a bottle of wine asers the entire thing. Obviously, you can't even taste it, even if it were more than a drop of wine. But the point is that the iser mashahu is not based upon the sinas tam. The iser mashahu is based upon a din, that min is not bata mina. So once you don't have nisinas tam anymore, so at that point, the only question that's left, I'm missing something, the only question that's left is whether or not this is called mimino and it's osir b'mashu or mimishen omino. So that's the Shach's point. The Shach's point is that in our context, where we're talking about defining whether this is a sveika d'oraisa or sveika d'rabbanan by nishpach of mimishen omino, there is no way of looking at it other than tam. It has to be Basar Taimah, because we're not talking about Rabosai Min B'Minam and Mishem Yino here. What are we talking about? Tam Ki Ikar. And Tam Ki Ikar only goes Basar Tam. So let me just read a little farther in the Shach. The Shach says, Ubiyos Kain, because what I just explained to you, Tmehani Amasha Kosef Harav, Unin B'Mimino Aslina Basar Shema V'Chulei. The Dato, the Ramah's opinion would appear to be, Im Hushava B'Shema, if the Isser and the Heter have the same shame, Af Al Gavdala Shava B'Taima, What's the next word, by the way, guys? Beis Aleph Vav Shin. What's that abbreviation? I told you it's yesterday. Be Isser Veheter Shalom, as opposed to the standard Isser Veheter Aruch, the Marshal say for Isser Veheter. Ube Sifro, Perek Giran Asha, so Simon Lamed Beis. What is the Marshal Sefer that he's referred to here? What? Yamshar Shlomo. The Yamshar Shlomo is on Gemara. So we have the Yamshar Shlomo on Chulin. So what he says in the Isser V'Heter and the Yamshar Shlomo, he says the same thing as the Ramah. But V'arei Mavur B'chala Poskim D'lahachi M'mishamino Aser Min HaTorah Chishim. But all the Poskim say, why is M'mimino Aser Min HaTorah Chishim? Came in the Nosein Tam. U'lahachi M'mimino D'eino Nosein Tam Bato Min HaTorah Barov K'deslina B'chal Duchtei Basaruba. V'in Kain says the Shach Nahapochu. All that should matter in our sif is tam. The im ain't shave b'taima. Afal gad the shave b'shma. Mikom al kom came on the no same tam. Beheter v'nepach aheter lios kolisu asam in the Torah chishim. V'hilkach benishpach aslin lachumra. V'im shave b'taima. Afal gad the lo shave b'shma. Mikom al kom came in the layev taima. Batil min haTorah. Uchad aslin b'chol duchtar basar rubai. Okay, so that's what the Shach says. It's not shayach to talk about by here min b'mino to say that you go basar shema. Of course you go basar tam. So now the Shach continues and says, ah, but some of you are big b'kiyim and you learn the Gemara Avodah Zarah, where Rav and Abaye have a machlokes by yayin yashan, yayin chadash, and anovim and grapes. What's called min b'mino? So afal gav the kaimelon kirava beperek basra davodas kochavim samach vav gabe chamra chadet tadazlin and basar shma vala basar time all in yemimino haynu dafkel in yinayi nesach betevel sheosur mimasha hu yemimino bechenin in shuma v'arla sheshir in lamala nishishem yemimino behilkach in those cases im hu shave b'shma afal gav lo shave b'time havel yemim yemimino v'asur mimashu over kofalif or reish alif for truma or arla klerikam then eino shave b'shma. Afal gav the shava b'taima osur binosein tam. If they don't have the same name, even though they have the same shame, it's osur binosein tam in ishishim. V'chein the Rabbi Yehuda the Amar b'chali surim m'mimina m'mashahu. The hilkach b'chi haigavna tu lekam ishim tam ki ikar. Why not? Because you've already reached the threshold of shishim. Now, once we've gotten beyond Shishim, we want to know, is this Min B'Mino and Aser B'Mashahu, or is it Min B'Shein Amino and Spata B'Shishim? So then, Nilekim Yishun Tam Kik or Acharab L'Hatos. So that's what he says. So the whole issue of Taim and Shema is irrelevant to our Sif. Our Sif is talking about Tam Ki'ikar. By Tam Ki'ikar, the only question you have is Tam. Min B'Mino is determined by Tam. If you have Min B'Mino at the same Tam, then nobody will be able to taste the Isser. The Raisa Rov is sufficient. There's no Tam Kikar and the Nishpach we're making. If you're dealing with two things with different flavors, then since Tam Kikar is the Raisa, and now it's spilled out, you don't know whether there was Shishim or not, that's the Sveik of the Raisa. That's basically the gist of the Shach. He goes on and on with more discussion with Raisa. I'm sure in the Chavis Das here, there's a lengthy defense of the Ramah. I haven't read it. If you're really curious, you can read. I mentioned previously, last time I taught Yeridea, I had one student who loved this Ramah, and he was like a dog with a bone, and he wouldn't let go. He just came back a year, numerous times during the year. It was kind of funny. Brilliant student, actually. Absolutely brilliant. But he still couldn't really explain to me the Ramah's position. But I haven't looked at the Chavis Das, but if you're interested, you could pursue that. Okay. The Shach's position seems so intuitively obvious, although usually when the Shach explains things, it seems his position seems so obvious. So I'm obviously not such a good judge. Okay. All right. One other issue in this Se'if. And we spoke about this once before, so I don't want to go on a great length, but I mentioned the Shach, and I'll mention it again. What is the so what's the din if you have Mimishen and Mino that get mixed together, and you know you had a robe, but you don't know for sure that you had Shishin, and it spills out. So what's the din? Mutar Aser. Aser, Sveika Daraisa Lachom, right? Because Mimishen Mino is a Sveika Daraisa. Let's say now you have Min, let's say you have Chazer Shmelz, and now I got to come with a better example than that. That's terrible. Let's say I have nevela meat that falls into a mixture of meat and broccoli. Okay. So if the nevela meat had fallen just into broccoli, it would be a regular mimishin and mutar case. And now the question is, you have to know for sure you have shishin. But if the min, for if the case here is I have kosher meat and broccoli together, and then treif meat falls in. So now, what did the Rashba say in the Mechaber quotes? Well, we assume that the kosher meat has the capacity to be mevatel the treif meat benatora if there's a robe. And we don't care that there's broccoli in the pot. Salik es she'ino mino, pretend the broccoli is not there. And mino is rabba olavu mevatel. The min, the hefter meat, is mevatel the yeser meat. A b'shur b'robe min haTorah, and then we're not sure whether it was shishim or not. That's the case that the Rashba brings. The Shulchan Aruch cites, and we say it's mota. So many of the Achronim are bothered by this. The Shach quotes, because as I explained when we went through this the first time, what should you be afraid of happening? What was the origin again? To say one last time, in the Gemara, what was the makor for the Rashba? What was the case of the Gemara? It was a very similar case, but a slightly different case. What was the case? You have a situation where min of heter, min of iser, falls into min and eno mino of heter. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, now what should it be according to Rabbi Yehuda? So what would happen according to Rabbi Yehuda if min of iser fell into just min of heter? What would it be according to Rabbi Yehuda? Why? That's what you would say. But now, in addition to being the min of heter in there, there's also eno min of heter. And let's assume time is the concern for a moment. Let's ignore that. So, what does the Gemara say for Rabbi Yehuda? Salik is mina. What's the example here? Let's stick with the same example. Treif meat, kosher meat, and a lot of broccoli. Okay, let's say you're a vegetarian but want a little tam of bus. So you have a lot of broccoli, you have kosher meat, you have and a little treif meat that falls in. So the Gemara says, Rabbi says Rabbi Yehuda, how do we handle a situation? Because on the one hand, the treif meat got mixed into kosher meat, which is mino, and it's no bittul. On the other hand, it got mixed also into broccoli, which does have bittul b'tam. So the Gemara says, salik es mino ki eloeno. Pretend that the kosher meat isn't there. All you have is the treif meat and the broccoli. And eno mino rava olavu mevatla. The broccoli is mevatla, the treif meat, and don't worry about that there's kosher meat there. That was what the Gemara said. And the Rashba inverts it. Because remember, how do we paskin about memimino? Batel or not batel? Guys, this should be on. You should have to do this in your sleep. It's batel. So for us, the bigger problem is eno mino. So the Rashba inverts it. So the Acharonim say, but this is difficult. Why? Because min, as I said, is min osar mino? Or is it that min is not misbatel b'mino? Which is the correct formulation? Does min of Isser aser the min of Heter, or is it just that the min of Isser is not misbatel in the min of Heter, and therefore you can't eat it because there's no bitl, you're still eating the Isser? Which is it? What? No. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that min of Mino is not batel. What does that mean? Does that mean, the way I said, is min oser Mino, or it's just that min is not misbatel of Mino? I know you can't eat it. But is that because the min of Isser asers per se, the min of Heter, or is it it's just not misbatel in it, and therefore you can't eat it, because when you eat it, you're also eating the Isser. Normally by Bittul, when Bittul works, you're not eating Isser anymore, because the Isser disappeared. So why is it that you can't eat Mibimino? Because the min makes the min, Mino Shal Heter Asser, or just because there's no Bittul, and therefore you're still eating the Min Shal Isser? And the answer is, there's no Bittul. Min in Isbatel Mino. So in that case, you can say conceptually, once I have eno mino in this mixture, ignore the min. It's not that the min of Isser asks the min of Heter. It's just that the min of Heter can't be mevatel the min of Isser. But the eno min of Heter can be mevatel the min of Isser according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Min is mevatel v'sheino mino. So there I understand why you can say, Salik yasmino kilo, eno ve'eno mino, nimsa eno mino rabo lavavata. But the Shas says, when you deal with min v'she'eno mino, with tam ki'ikar, is it that the iser is not misbato v'heter, or is it the iser aser v'heter? Which is it? Think about it for a second. If chazer gets into meat and there's not enough to be mevatel, is it that the chazer makes the meat aser, or just that the chazer isn't misbatel in the meat, and therefore mamele you can't eat? Which is it?
It makes it
aser. It makes it aser, right? Because it flavors the meat. It makes the meat aser. It's not that it's not just that it's not misbatel. So therefore the Shas says, if when the meat falls into the meat and the broccoli, why aren't you concerned that this meat of iser flavors the broccoli instead? It might mix with the meat, also flavors the broccoli. Shas, how can you say salik es eno mino ki ilo eno v'nimsa mino rabo olam vatlo? How do you know with this broccoli, how do you know that with the meat of iser, how do you know that it flavored the meat, not the broccoli? Maybe it flavored the broccoli and you're stuck and you can taste it. Which is why the Shach suggests that even according to the Rashba, if I have meat, and broccoli, you know what I'm allowed to eat? I'm allowed to eat the meat. Because the meat, for sure, is not a problem. Any time that the meat of Isser put in the meat of Heter is not going to be a problem. Why? You don't know which is the Isser meat. Right? Or if you could remove it. Let's say you recognize and remove it. Why can you eat at least the meat of kosher? Because you know for sure that if the treif meat flavored the kosher meat, and there is more kosher meat here than treif meat. Remember, that's part of the condition of the Shulchan Aruch. You have to have a rove, you have to have more min of heter than min of iser.
Rove or shishin?
No. You have to know for sure there was rove, and you have to have the possibility that between the min and the enomino there was shishin. And to get out of sveika deraisa on the meat, says the Shach, you need to know that you had a rove of kosher meat over treif meat. To be able to eat anything, you have to at least be able to assume that there might have been shishim in total. You're mesupak if there was shishim. So the Shach says that if you know there was roe, but you don't know whether it was shishim, so the meat of heter is the sveika derabanan. But the broccoli is the sveika deraisa. Because even if the meat of Isser flavored the meat of heter, it's batel roe. But if the meat of Isser flavored the broccoli, then that actually would be tam ki ikar. So that's why the Shach claims that the Rashba, it doesn't sound like this in the Rashba, but he claims that when we say salak ish eno mino, umino rabo lavo mavatlo, only the mino is mutter, not the she'eno mino, because the she'eno mino remains a sveik of the rice. No.
Wouldn't the broccoli also absorb the taste of the meat that's mutar?
Yes, possibly, but we don't know. So there's an element of sveik of the oraisa. Right? It's not, if you could guarantee me, Noam, that let's say the two meats blend together. First, before they eat the broccoli, then I would say that the tam of the iser meat is batel in the heter meat, and then that therefore it's not a problem for his broccoli. But you don't know what happens first, right? It falls in and it flavors things simultaneously. So it might be that the iser meat flavors the broccoli. So therefore, if you don't know for sure that with shishim in the entire pot can make the iser meat, it's a sphinx of the rice on the broccoli. On the kosher meat, there's no suffering. Which, by the way, could lead to a very absurd conclusion, incidentally. Let's say the meat blends together and you can't identify the kosher and treif meat. You know, it would turn out, what can you do and what can't you do? Think about it for a second. Let's think about the scenario. Again, I have my basar treifa. I have my basar kshera. I have my irakos. They mix together. Now, I know, I should read this. I just don't know if it's shishim. So A, B, and C. So this is how we're formulating this equation. A is greater than B. A plus C divided by B is questionably greater than 60. How's that? Arithmetic presentation, right? I know that the iser and the I know that the heter meat is greater than the iser meat. I know that the heter meat plus the irakos might be 60 times greater than, might be greater than 60 to 1. So what is the Shach's objection? Well, look, the basar treifa could flavor this and it could flavor that. So legabe this, for sure it's only sveika derabanan. But legabe the irakos, the basar treifa could make it asa mideraisa. Which leads you to the following crazy conclusion.
What would happen if you cannot distinguish between the two buses? Let's say it all blends together. What would it then be in this Tarobas? Zach, say it. You know what I mean. You can eat any meat, including knowing that in that meat, you're eating the treif meat, but you can't eat the broccoli. And the answer, we understand why. Because when you're eating all the meat together, you can't taste it. Whereas when you eat the broccoli, you might be tasting the treif meat. Right? It does lead to a pretty wild conclusion. This is like, I want to joke you and say, this is Isser Nefach Lios Heter, and this is Heter Nefach Lios Isser. It's not really that, but okay. Yes, no.
Would you have a sphinx in this case? Because you have a suffix whether there's 60, and you have a suffix whether the treif of meat gave...
So I would argue that the treif... I wouldn't even call that a suffix. I would say the treif of meat diffuses into everything, including the irakos.
But the when it comes to flavor, flavor min the mino, is that not batel berov?
Yeah.
It is batel berov.
Well, min the mino, but this concern has been the shame of it.
But the Yurako get flavor from two different
ways. So I'm waiting for someone to defend the standard reading of the Rashba, which is, you would argue, yes, the treifa could flavor the Yurakos, but you have no justification for assuming that the treifa will put any more flavor in the Yurakos than the rest of the basar will. So what gives you the right to be machmir and claim it's a sveika d'oraisa? Now, the Shach might answer that we don't really know how things diffuse, and it's possible that the treifa diffused into the Yurakos as opposed to Kshera. You tell me, but it's a safek. So sveika is more complicated than you make it out. I'll just say that. You know, do you know all the quality sveika sveika of the Shach?
I have no idea what they are.
Meaning. So I'll just say, learn the quality. Well, you learn the quality sveika sveika of the Shach, and we can come back and have a discussion.
Where are these?
Simon Kohyut. Okay. I have taught, of the times I've taught Yerodea, last time I taught it, I didn't even get to start Simon Kohyut. The first time I taught it, I got the first two sifim of Kohyut, not in the Shach, just in the Beis Yosef. And the second time I taught it, I got to do all of Kohyut, but the only thing I did not do was the quality sveika sveika of the Shach. I don't know who learned. I'm willing to bet you that there's Kimat nobody here who has learned that. I mean, maybe a couple of Rosh Yeshiva have learned it once upon a time. Maybe you'll find the Kol guy did it, but I don't think too many people do it. I don't know why. Why not? It's because we don't have time to do it. I don't think that Rabbi Weiss, Zichron al-Racha, taught Yerodea for years here. I have my doubts that he did that when he taught Yerodea, that he did class 6 in Shach. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be. But it's long and hard. In fact, he gives you the long version, and then he gives you the kisser. So you can see the back of your Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Fine. All right, so that's what's going on in this very on the Shach in Sifkatan. I think it's Ches. Ches? Yes. Sifkatan Ches. Okay. Gimel. Zach, read one more, please. Well, you read, right? Who is reading? What's that? Oh, Ben Sion. I'm sorry, Ben Sion. Okay. So this is only when it's nishpach, but if it is nisari beheter and we have it, but we just don't know exactly how to be mishayir it. E efshar lamud al shi'uro. Then, even if it's safek derabanan, it's asur. So, why is this the case? So, we mentioned that safek hatali bichisar and yediya is not a safek. I think the Mordechai is quoted by the Taz. Maybe the Shach quotes him too. That das shotim doesn't count. If you're an incompetent and you don't know how, that's not called a safek. There is another explanation, I believe, that's offered by the Ran. Which is that if you were to go, every time you couldn't make a determination, if you would go to Lakula, Isurim the Rabbanim would disappear. So in a regular case, they weren't going to be Mekel. But in a weird case of Nishpach, so in that particular case, if you're Mekel on the Safek, that's not such a big deal. So it's a very, very different kind of reason. I mentioned to you previously that this issue comes up in Hilchos Nida as well, in terms of
why don't you say that every kesem is a safek? Because maybe if we knew how to use the seven detergents in the proper order, we could actually do bedika and it would turn out the kesem was not blood, it was a dye. And the answer is that a similar kind of thing, that a safek and bekias isn't a safek. What's different between that case and this case, it would seem, is that that case, nobody knows how to do it, which is a bigger chiddush. If nobody knows how to do it, why is it dashotim? We just lost the tradition of how to do it, so why don't we just say it's a safek? Whereas here, it seems that you don't know how to be mashar, but someone with a bigger chacham would actually know how to be mashar. Now, I don't know what he means, that when you're not, you know, yachal asharo, what does that mean? Does it mean we don't know how much fell in? Or it means that we know much for them, but we're just incompetent at measuring things. I don't know how to measure the volume of a pot. Because if it's the latter, I understand. If it's the former, it's not dashotim, and it's not a chisar and a bekias. It's just not knowing all the facts of the case. Which, by the way, is true by nishpach also. But by nishpach also, what's the difference between nishpach and a case where I know how much, where I don't know how much fell in? And the answer is, I think, neither. Not, no difference. Right? It makes more sense if this is a case where I know what fell in, and I simply do not know how to measure the contents of the pot. Then, that's called dashot measure. That's what I would think. Okay, it's not going to come up too often, I think. I don't get this kind of question too often. All right, on to Os Dalet. Thank you very much, Ben Sion. Zachary, can I ask you to read from Sif Dalet and Shulchan Aruch?
This is the Bajali Mahatar, Aftu, Makiro, Vaku, Shalim, Zargo, Tavari, Shishim, Connecticut, Isser, Bishop A, Anna Yodin, Kama, Yatam, Menem, Tikama Basha, Vigdera, Isser, Shahibas Yoma, Oto, Kap Kapsha, Isser, Mahatar, Tavari, Shishim, Connecticut, Kadera, Connecticut, Masha, Tifav, Mehakaf, Chain, Yodin, Kama, Bala, Ben Shahim, Shakaris, O, Eight, O,
Mahatar. Alright, so let's do this slowly. First part. Isser shenishbas shalom heter. Even if you recognize and throw it away, you still need shishim keneged kol ha'isser, because we don't know how much came out of it. Now, there are two pieces to that. You need shishim in ha'isser. How do you know that? Where does that come from? What's the source? Even if you recognize the isser and you throw it out. Now, firstly, what's the havamina? The havamina is, if you throw it out, so then you don't have to worry. You got rid of most of the isser. Do you remember the Darkei Moshe we read yesterday about a situation where chela falls into a pot of soup and it's batel b'shishim? So what did the Rama on the Darkei, he doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Rama on the Darkei Moshe say you're supposed to do? It's batel, but what are you supposed to do when the chela got mixed into the soup? You let it congeal and the fat floats to the top and you skim the fat out. Now the Rama says that only helps you if you have shishim. If you don't have, there's a Bach, I think, who says that, nah, if you didn't have shishim, but you skim the fat, then it's okay. The rabbi says, nothing doing. You need shishim, but even if you have shishim, if you can remove some of the isser, then any of the isser you can remove, you're supposed to remove. So, but how do I know that you need shishim? So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, bizman shemakiro, so harota binosen tam. So that's what the Rama is saying here. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying here. Fine. And why if you throw the thing out, can't you use less than shishim? The answer is because you don't know how much came out of it. And that's based upon, obviously, what's that din in the Gemara? Why is it you have, what's the example? You have to be mishar bekulo because you don't know how much came out of it? The ibamai denafak mine keitzad yadina. What was the Gemara talking about? On Zadi Zayin number days? Bechulei misharinan of my denafik mei misharinan. So the Gemara says pshita the bechulei misharinan. The even my denafik mei minei adinan. Kichal. Right? We don't know how much milk was in the chal and how much came out in the udder. Fine. So that's that case. Lefikach hamavashel b'kderas iser shivas yoma. If you cook in a pot that was used in the last 24 hours, or heter, and the pot was used with iser, or you take a spoon, the stir, which is shel iser, and you stick it into heter, you need 60 times the entire kedera if you're putting kosher food into a tray pot, and you need 60 times the volume of the spoon if you're sticking it into stirring kosher food. Now he says, Bein shein cheres, o eitz o mateches. Why does he say that? why does he give this? Why does he feel the need to tell us that it doesn't matter what the material of the spoon is? Rabbeinu Peretz, number one. Number one, Rabbeinu Peretz. There are two things to exclude here. Shel Mateches to exclude Rabbeinu Peretz, who says what? That if you stick a metal spoon in, how much do you have to be Mishar Keneged? 60 Keneged what? The entire spoon, not just the part you stuck in, because Chan Mekteso, Chan Kulo, and the Blios transmit, like conductivity. And we don't hold like Rabbeinu Peretz because we say, yes, chamek tzaso cham kulo means if you stick one part in the soup, we assume the other part is hot as well. But we don't assume that the blios and the other part travel into the soup. It has to be in the part of the kli that's submerged in the soup. And that's number one. Number two, why do we say that you that bein chain shel cheres o etzo matachas? Which other shita mishonim is it a rejection of? Zaraivad. What did the Raivad say? He's saying that when you, no matter what the kli is, when you have a kli that's balua me'iser and you put it into heter, how much do we have to mishar with? The entire thing you stuck in. Why? Because you don't know how much came out. So if that's the case, who said that you don't have to be mishar bechulei, but you can make an umdana b'maydenafet minei? Who said such a thing? The Ravid said that whenever you're dealing with a davar hachozer lehechshero, something that can become made kosher again, the Ravid says, you make an omed yofeh, however much came out. How does the Ravid know that? Just reviewing this. No. What? No. No, no, no. From? Kechal. Right? The Gemara says that you mishayar b'maydin afet b'chulei. Why? Because you don't know how much came out. And the Gemara says, why is that you do it that way? Because the Rabbanu Mushavet is the Chaticha de Nevela. So the Ravid says it's only true that you have to be machmir to assume the entire kal came out because the kal is eino chozer lehashera. In other words, why should kal have been mutter? If you cooked it with meat in a pot and there was enough meat to be mevatel the milk of the kal, why should even the basar kal be mutter? Because what happens to the milk? What happens to the milk in the udder ducts? When you cook the chal, the meat, with the milk in its ducts, with other meat, what happens to the milk?
It fuses.
So if the rest of the meat is mother, why don't you say the chal is mother? The answer is the chachamim made a takana. The gzeira, they said, they should mishava the chal like chaticha nevela. So the Rashba says, yeah, you know when we have to be mishayer b'mechulei? Only when it's not chosel asherah. But if you're dealing with a kli matchus or a kli eis, something that you can kasher, so then the Ravid says you don't have to be Mishire with the entire thing, you can be Mishire with an omen yofeh b'maydin afek minei. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is coming to exclude here. Both those shitas Rabbeinu Peretz and the shita of the Ravid. It doesn't matter if it's cheres, eitz, or mateches, you don't have to be Mishire other than that which was submerged in the spoon. It doesn't matter whether it's an earthenware spoon, metal spoon, wooden spoon, that which is submerged in the food, you have to be Mishire Keneged the entire part. That which is above the liquid line, you don't have to worry about. Doesn't matter if it's metal, and it doesn't matter. None of these dinim change of metal, and they don't change if it's wood either. All right, continue in the Rama. Okay, so the Rama says this is only true if the kli was bolea on the fire, then the blia permeates the kli. But if the kli is only treif because something was salted, it was in something that was salted, then it only yontu mishar kineged a klipa of the kli, which is much, 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 much less. Okay, and then the Mechaber says, yesh me. Okay, so now you see it explicitly in that Tushita.
That's
Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Rama says, all right, paskin like, not like Rabbeinu Peretz, you paskin the first way. Okay, hold on 1 second. So the shach here in Sifkat on Yud Gimel, firstly in Yud Beis, he tells you that Bein Shehem Shocheres, etc., is Lafuke Svaras Haraivim. In Sifkat and Yud Gimel, he quotes the Raman, the Torah Chatas, in the name of the Sivaheter, Ha'aruch, that if you pour something into a kli, hot, how much is absorbed? Through what level, if I take hot stuff and I pour it into a kli, how much gets absorbed in the pot? How much is it? How deep is it bolea? The answer is when you're pouring hot into cold, this is a sugya in Ketzat Solin and Psachim, you assume only kedei klipa. We assume, this is the second law of rabbinic thermodynamics. If the substance on the bottom is cold and the substance on the top is hot, which do you follow? The substance on the bottom. And if the substance on the bottom, what? It is, but we paskin, like Shmuel the Tatar Gavar. It's a machlokas rabbin Shmuel, whether Tatar Gavar, Ilah Gavar. Neither of them makes sense in Newtonian thermodynamics, except to the extent that it makes more sense that a Tatar Gavar in the sense that heat rises. I don't think that has enough of an impact when cold falls into hot to say, ah, it answers everything because heat rises. I don't think that is enough to do that. But anyway, the way the Gemara, the way we paskin is tata gavar, hot onto cold. It's basically cold, but you need it answers kadei klipa. Cold onto hot, it's considered all hot. It can answer throughout the entire thing. We'll deal with that in Simon Kofei. It just is coming up in passing right now. So the Shach says that Ire is also like Malichas kadei klipa. But if you pickle something, if you put tray food, which is a liquid, inside a pot, then how much of the pot does it permeate if you leave it long enough? Kavush is ke vushal, and therefore it asks the entire pot. And you have to assume when you misha'er, can I get the entire pot? Okay. Go ahead. Zachary, continue. So even though the tam is about the b'shishim, you still have to remove it if you can see it. V'lachein. L'hapi, v'latzuf l'mala. Okay, so this one point. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Stop. So, what does he say here? A piece of this or nevela meat falls into pot one. Then what happens? Yikes, you pull it out, and now it falls into pot two. Super klutz. I guess it got slippery, or it was a slippery piece of the veil. It keeps falling in. How much do you have to be mabata on pot two? Shishim, because you never know how much came out, if anything, in pot one. So that's what the Rama says. But aval nafal. Go ahead. Ooh. That's interesting. What happened here? A piece of nevela fell into your pot and you pulled it out and it fell back into that pot. So what does the Rama say the din is? Yeah, why? Why would you think, why? Why is that? No, okay. Why is that? can someone answer Zach's question? Uh-huh. Zachary. Correct. If the piece falls into the pot, let's say it's nevela. Maybe most of the nevela flavor goes into the pot, and maybe pot flavor comes into the nevela. But once it comes into that piece of nevela, there's still some nevela there. And we say, chaticha nasas nevela in that one chaticha. So now what I have in the pot is... In my pot, I have 59... I'll say I have 60 pieces. Okay? 60 pieces. Now, a piece of nevela meat falls in. Now, how much flavor does the one thing emit of nevela into the 60s, Zach? I want a precise answer to this question. Alter, the one piece falls into the pot of 60. How much flavor can we say is emitted by the one.
Less than one. Less than one.
Up until one. We don't know how much. Okay, so far as that? So now, but the one is still there. It's got something in it. So it might be that you have a flavor exchange. And now you really have 59, one, and one. And the truth is, you could have had, let's start with 60, 65 here. 65. So I have 64, one, and now one is almost all heter. But not all heter. And therefore, let's say 1/30 of this is Isser, and 29/30 of that is heter, okay? What happens to the 29/30 of heter in that one piece? What do you say? Now, firstly, what's the din of the pots at? 64 and the one. What's pot? What's the rasa? Okay, now what about, now why? Because it's 64 of heter and maybe one of Isser. But, or close to one of Isser. But this piece of meat that you pull out is Isser, clearly. And now, what is in it? So its contents might be, you would say, 29/30 of heter, 1/30 of Isser, and it's cool on a pathes Isser because Hanan. Now when it falls back in the pot, how much Isser do I have? Got it?
I think it's because Hanan makes it so that the piece never diminishes.
In other words, there's something else in it now. If I knew that very little Nevela came out the first time, I wouldn't even need Shishim except for Keneged what came out, and only a little more fell in the second time. But it's possible that almost everything came out, I'm not talking about in the world, in the chemical world that we would think, but it's possible that almost everything came out of the heter into the Isser into the heter the first time, but there was enough Isser left behind that Asser all the heter that got into the piece, and so that's Hanan. So now you have almost two kazaisim of Isser, different kinds of Isser. One kazais of Isser is the flavor of the Nevela. One kazais of Isser is heter, whatever it is, slightly flavored by Nevela. So now you have almost two total kazais of Isser when you stick the spoon in the second time. Right? Now you have, and by the way, you could keep going. You could wind up, I know in real world it's not true, but the third time you stick it in, if this were a problem, you now need 180 kazais to be mevatel. Well, Hanan says that when you have heter and isser, that mix together in a way that the isser flavors the heter. Let me keep it simple, very simple. The isser flavors or asers the heter. But let's say it flavors it. The entire heftza now becomes a new heftza of isser. Its origin comes from, everybody agrees that's midaraisa bevasar b'chala. Right? The b'chala falls into the basar. Now we say that there's a new isser here and all of it is considered isser. Or and some nevela falls into kosher meat, and there's not enough to mevatel, and it blends together. So we say it's now all Isser. So that's all that could be going here. So the Ramah says, no, we don't say that. The question is, why not? If the Ramah holds Hanan by Shari Surim, you shouldn't be able to say this. We're going to stop at this, and we will, God willing, presume here tomorrow. Yes, Noam.
Wouldn't it depend on the medium here, though? Because there may not be an equal exchange of Isser and Heter. If you have meat in a soup, a big portion of the fat of the meat is going to enter the soup, and a small portion of soup will enter the meat.
But we don't know how much. So I'm playing out here a worst-case scenario. I agree.
But even in the worst case...
So you can't initially get two kazais of this, sir, but you can probably get 1.95 or something like that. But you have to allow for enough kisser remaining behind in the chaticha to asr the heter that comes in there. Yes. Okay.